Psych, I'm back. Someone needs to call in, 509-335-2207. Yes, it's my first time ever having the PSA not here at this time, so I'm kind of scared. But instead, I want to talk about that song, because it's a gorgeous song from 1971. Beautiful album, too, Electric Warrior. Mark Bolan and T-Rex, I want to talk about them. Amazing band. Perfect music. I mean, perfect. I probably like it more than David Bowie. And his albums. The story behind that song, Cosmic Dancer, which I do think should have been a radio hit in 71, but I guess they really didn't know how to market it. They're like, oh gosh, we've got reverse guitars here at the outro. Don't know how to market that. But anyway, the story behind that is Mark Bolan wrote that for his lover at the time, David Bowie, and then he returned the favor on his album, 1972, Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. He wrote the song Lady Stardust for Mark Bolan. Love, true love, or at least coked out true love in the 70s, whatever. I'm going to play something by The Clash, but someone call in after I start this next song, and we will chit-chat, because I might need a DJ, so I can go home and drink some tea and eat some soup. I don't know if you really eat soup. I kind of think you drink soup. But we could discuss that on the phone if you call in. 509-335-2207. Unless these guys show up. I'm going to chill out and, you know, we'll see. But the truth is I just really want to go home. Get some sleep. Because I don't feel good. I don't feel well. Not feel good, but you know, don't feel well. So this is The Clash. I'll shut up now. I'm sorry. Here we go. This is The Clash. This is off the album Sandinista. I don't know how to say it, but it's their fourth album. The song's called Somebody Got Murdered. Yeah.
Thank you.
Have good news. One member of PES has showed up, and I guess I'm going to make this announcement here. Scotty, you may call in at any moment and have a nice spring break, everyone else. So, bye-bye. Thank you.
I say that it was morally wrong. If any of that $18,000 went to Senator Nixon, I presume it's. I say that it was morally wrong if it was seen as a gift. And I say that it was morally wrong if any of these Christians got special favors for the contributions that they made. And now to ask you those questions, let me say this.
Thank you. Listening to 90.7 FM KZUU Pullman, a broadcast service of the ASWSU, live from the third floor of the Cub. It is the award-winning PES show. I am your host, DJ Can't Find a Parking Spot, and we should have on the phone my co-host, Scotty, who is down on assignment in Peoria, Arizona, covering Mariner spring training. Scotty, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Can you hear me at all?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, we're actually out at the Arizona Amateur Invitational, where John Stewart is in the lead, and I'm trying to up for the all the good people of Pullman, but it's not working out very well for us. We're out at the Agera Golf Course. It's overcast down here. Actually, it's been relatively mild by Arizona standards, I suppose. And I don't know if we'll be able to. I went into the woods on my last tee shot. It's not looking pretty at all. So,
stuff over there.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, haven't been missing much with the weather here in Pullman. I don't know if you've heard anything, but we had a big storm move through last night, and I guess right around rush hour, we had kind of a little snowstorm. Had some really slushy, wet snow fall, about an inch or so of that. And then we had a lot of winds, a lot of high winds, probably 50-mile-an-hour gusts last night. And then all that little slushy snow froze solid this morning, so it was an interesting commute this morning with all the ice and everything on the highway. So I'm not feeling too sorry for you down there in Arizona, Scotty.
Find it. Anyway, Tom?
Yes.
Well, I've heard that it's snowing there and everything like that, and we're out here on the course. I'm going to have to try to get back with you once we finish up this round, and I'll let you know who's in the lead. But baseball's been pretty good so far.
Excellent. Can't wait to get a report on how things are going down there with spring training.
Yes, it's going to be good. I hope that the Mariners start doing a little bit better. The pitching has been very suspect. They've been giving up a lot of runs, and they played the Japanese team last night as an exhibition game and lost 6-5.
Yes, I heard that Felix Hernandez's first outing was not exactly stellar, so maybe he's got a little rest from the off season. Hopefully he'll be able to take care of that. So, okay, well, we'll look forward to hearing from you, Scotty, once you once you're done with your round, and give us a call back.
I will. Yeah, John Stewart just hit one off the rough, and I think he went straight into the sand trap, so his score's going to be hurting a little bit, but he's currently in the lead, so that's who my partner is, and unfortunately I'm going back and forth, and he's going straight down the middle. So hopefully I can off a little bit or something.
Sure.
Anyway, from sunny Arizona, I will talk to you later on.
Very good. We look forward to it, Scotty.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, so that was Scotty down in Arizona, and he'll be calling us back later with some reports on Mariners spring training and, I guess, some updates on his round of golf. Oh, let me disconnect the phone. All right, very good. Okay. Again, I thank DJ Greenbean for filling in for me this morning. I guess the PES is about nothing else but rants, and my first rant today would be I'm not a student and I'm not a faculty member. I don't have a parking permit, and I could not find a place to park this morning. Almost always when I do the show, I'm able to find a spot in the pay garage underneath the Holland Library, and there's no room at the end this morning, and then I went over to the other parking garage over there near the education building, full too. They wouldn't even let you get into the garage. So I had about 10 minutes left, scrambling, had to go to the parking services office, get a visitor permit, find a spot, walk over here. So kind of a disaster. I can definitely feel for you students who constantly have the parking problems or complain about the parking, because it sure seems like there could be a lot more parking on campus to me anyway. So like I said, we're going to be talking about the Mariners today when Scotty calls back. I got a lot of news, a lot of things going on here, as always, it seems like lately. Of course, the big news today on the WSU campus is Zach Wirtz and Janine Heath won the ASWSU presidential election yesterday. Looked like it was a pretty good voter turnout, 36.6%. That's actually a voter turnout rate that most localities would be pretty happy to have. So glad to see that there was a pretty heavy voter turnout. Zach and Janine won by a fairly comfortable margin, about 200-some votes, so it looks like a fairly clear mandate from the students, and so we'll be talking about that a little bit later. Also, there's some interesting news coming from Moscow. Moscow Planning and Zoning Commission reached a decision about a rezone request last night concerning, or that was with regards, it wasn't a decision on Walmart, but it was a decision about zoning that would affect the Walmart Supercenter in Moscow. Also, in about, excuse me, about 10 minutes or so, we hope to have Fritz Hughes calling in. Fritz Hughes is the executive director of the Pullman Chamber of Commerce, so we're going to be talking to Fritz about exactly what the chamber's mission is here in Pullman, what's going on, and what we can look forward to in the future. Some other stories in the news. WSU's budget made it through the legislature. At least the $10 million did. So it looks like there's enough money to at least lay the foundation for the new life sciences building, the second life sciences building, which is good news for WSU and for Pullman. we're going to be talking a little bit about taxes. Sales taxes and income taxes, and whether or not it would be a good idea for Washington State to have an income tax. Iran is in the news. Iran is doing a lot of saber rattling towards the United States. There's some concern about what might be going on there. We'll talk about that. And also, last night in the Pac-10 tournament down at the Staples Center in L.A., the Cougar basketball team unfortunately fell to the Oregon Ducks, which marks an end to the Dick Bennett era here at WSU and the beginning of the Tony Bennett era, and we'll be talking about that also. In the meantime, we've got a ton of PSAs to do today, so I think before Fritz calls, I'll start on some of the PSAs. The Pullman Fire Department invites you and your mom to their annual Mom's Weekend Pancake Feed on April 8th. Come and enjoy all-you-can-eat pancakes, ham, hash browns, scrambled eggs, juice, and coffee. For more information, contact Chris at 509-332-8172. Does your nonprofit group or organization have an event or meeting you would like to announce on the air? KZUU broadcasts public service announcements every hour. Fill out a form available online at www.kzuu.org or outside our office, Cub Room 311. For more information, contact Lucas at 335-2208. The University of Idaho presents Pink Mountaintops in the SUV Ballroom at 7:30 p.m. March 26. Come and enjoy their acoustic folk rock sound. For more information on upcoming concerts, contact Dylan, 208-885-6485, or go to www.asui.uidaho.edu. Engineers Without Borders at Washington State University meets bi-monthly, Thursdays at 5 p.m. in Sloan 242. Engineers Without Borders conducts sustainable community projects for disadvantaged people worldwide. For more information, go to their website at www.ewb.wsu.edu or call Alex at 206-291-8674. The GLBTA will be moving to Smith Gym. They'll be meeting on the third floor of Smith Gym. The Women's Building for weekly meetings begins March 21st at 7 p.m. For more information, contact Andy at 432-1699. Come watch a live show on Friday, March 10th at 9 p.m. at Mystical Tattoo. The Pacific Graveyard will be performing their groovy blues, folk music, and rocking your world. For more information, contact John at 509-432-6844. On Sunday, March 26th, the Moscow Area Mountain Bike Association is hosting a Devil's Slide Mountain Bike Race. It is a cross-country mountain bike race starting at Hell's Gate State Park. There are beginner and pro categories for male and female riders. All racers are eligible for a swag drawing. For more information, contact Joe at 208-301-1408. Come support local independent business and music. Green Frog Cafe in Palouse will be having open mic nights every first Friday of each month. Acoustic music only. Green Frog Cafe is located at 110 Bridge Street, Palouse, Washington. For more information, contact Green Frog Cafe at 878-1490. On April 7th at noon, the Black Men Making a Difference organization is holding a rally on Glen Terrell Mall. They want to bring together 1,000 students, faculty, and administration to discuss the problems facing education today. The rally will follow week-long workshops on April 5th and 6th. For more information, contact Elliot at 206-856-2623. Memorial Day weekend, the Gorge starts off its summer concert series with the 5th anniversary of the annual Sasquatch Music Festival, brought to you by the House of Blues. In celebration of the anniversary, Sasquatch will be 3 days long, featuring big-name indie artists like Death Cab for Cutie, The Flaming Lips, Soup John Stevens, The Shins, Rogue Wave, The Decemberists, and more. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit www.sasquatchfestival.com for more information. Submissions are now being accepted for the first annual Wazoo Independent Film Festival, which is presented by WSU Student Entertainment Board in collaboration with Wazoo Films. All up-and-coming filmmakers are encouraged to submit their films and are eligible to win awards and prizes. Films must be 20 minutes or under in DVD or VHS format. Include a submission form, which is due March 20th. Submissions can be turned in at the SEB office, which is located on the ground floor of the Cub. The festival will be held at the Cub Auditorium on April 19th, 2006. For more information, contact Kyle Lawrence at 509-335-3503 or Nick Bergthold at 360-202-9747. We have a few more minutes before Fritz Hughes calls in from the Chamber of Commerce. In the meantime, enjoy the Reverend Horton Heat. You've been listening to the Reverend Horton Heat on the PES. On the phone with me right now, I have Fritz Hughes, the Executive Director of the Pullman Chamber of Commerce. Fritz, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Tom. Loud and clear.
All right, very good. So how are you doing today, Fritz?
I'm doing very well, thank you. A little surprised when all the snow and ice this morning, but other than that, doing great.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, too. The forecast, the last forecast I'd heard had said that it was going to kind of warm up and all the snow would melt off, and I was a little surprised to come out, and everything was pretty icy this morning.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But we're doing good now, so everything's being okay, I think.
Good. So Fritz, I wanted to ask, first of all, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background and how you got involved with the Chamber.
Okay, great. I'd be happy to do that. Yes, I'm Fritz Hughes. I'm the Executive Director of the Pullman Chamber of Commerce. And I've been doing this position about 6 years. In my previous life, I guess you might say, I was in the public school business for 31 years, both as a teacher and administrator, most of that being in our wonderful town of Pullman. And so when I retired, I was fortunate enough to get this job here as chamber director. And I just really love it because I love the community, and there's just a lot of energy and good things happening here in the last about 5 or 6, 7, 8 years. So, yeah, it's exciting times.
And what Fritz, is the role of the Chamber? What's its mission statement, and what purpose does the Chamber serve?
Sure. Well, the Chamber, I guess our motto or our mission statement is to make Pullman a better place to live, work, and do business. And we are political activists for some of our retail legislation that happens. We also work very well with our visitors that come to our community. We look to try to expand our retail base, and we are also do a lot of events within the community, such as our big lentil festival that we do, the 4th of July, and Cabaret, which is our dinner, dance, auction, and fundraiser that we do. But we're a trade organization in here to help support our business community and also make this a livable spot in Pullman. So we have a lot of hats we wear. We have a lot of different committees that work very hard in making the Chamber a very positive experience. And these are people that are, you know, are working full-time but also spend some extra volunteer time to help us out here. And we have a wonderful staff of 4 people that are all working to, as they say, is our mission statement, to make Pullman a better place to live, work, and do business.
And can you give me an example of some of the activities that the Chamber engages in terms of trying to attract new businesses to Pullman?
Yes, we send out letters to different businesses trying to recruit them. 2 years ago, we did it in partnerships with AWSU students at the Washington State campus to put together with Dr. Stem's marketing class a survey of students of what they would like to see in the community as far as entertainment and restaurants and things like that. So we worked with them, and then we get together with different marketers to see if we can recruit some of the business that they're interested in. We also help with people that are trying to start a business that maybe are moving into the community that don't belong to a name business, but help them write a business plan to get started. And we also work with the city closely to work with permitting issues so that we can be more welcoming and have the right zoning so that when businesses come to look at us, we have places for them to locate and set up our business. And we work a lot with our utility people to make sure we have good infrastructure that would be ready for a business to arrive here in Pullman.
And Fritz, you mentioned when you first came on about how that this has been an exciting last 5 years. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of what's going on right now and what the future looks like in terms of business coming here to Pullman?
Yes. I think, you know, there's been we've had some of our local people really investing into our community. Just to name a few, we've had Dwayne Brailsford, who's done a lot to revitalize both our downtown and also a lot of the apartments that the students in the community are moving into. Tom Handy, who has done a lot with the old post office there and made it into a very nice restaurant wine bar. And we have Cafe Belladocia, and Kevin Kirkman has done a lot of building. So we have a lot of local people that have invested in the community. And once that starts to happen and new revitalization of retail and housing comes in, other people start looking at us. And so we've gotten Quiznos and Taco Del Mar, and I'm pretty sure that we will have a Super Walmart that will come online here probably another year or so. And when that happens, when big boxes like that come to our community, other retail folks start to look at us. And we do have some vacant spots out in the Wheatland Mall there, the old Safeway building, and a few other spots. And so we have good accommodations for others that want to come in. And we just recently have opened up the Fireside Grill out on Bishop Boulevard and the Crimson Gray building. And I think, you know, the renovation that's going to happen with the Cub up on campus and Barnes & Noble's presence in there and Adams Mall there with Mike's place up there now. So there's all these kinds of things that are happening, and I would say a lot of it is attributed to the fact that some of our local folks in Pullman that have grown up here and maybe moved away and come back for the quality of life have invested into the community, which has been great. And Dr. Leff, who is a local doctor, has done a lot to expand the area down by the Holiday Inn Express, which is great. And then Schweitzer Engineering, which is, just seems to be growing, and they're building a big 5-story office building up on his property and a conference convention center, and WSU expanding not only with their biotech but in the recreation side there with that fabulous rec center, but also an 18-hole golf course. And then adding on to that, you know, we're doing some expansion in our airport, which will really accommodate our visitors that would come here, that we could have good air travel coming in and out. So there's just been a lot of things happening, and as you know, in the corridor between Pullman and Moscow, they're going to hopefully start this spring on the 4-lane highway in between. There's also a firm coming out of Boise, Idaho, that would like to have some retail expansion in the corridor there with maybe a Lowe's and a few other retail spots. So it's really an exciting time, and I think it's now when the university, the city, the chamber, the county commissioners, everybody are kind of really working together to promote this community and this area.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you, Fritz. I think you and the chamber have done a terrific job over the last few years, and it certainly seems to be a very exciting time in Pullman. You know, as you mentioned, with the growth that you know, Schweitzer Engineering, where I work, by the way, and very happy about that, and the WSU, I was pleased to see. I'm sure you read how that Even though the state did not provide for full funding of the second biosciences building, they at least provided $10 million so that the foundation could be laid. And I think that's very important for, I think, what is it, five buildings, I guess, altogether are in the plan for
biosciences? Five buildings altogether, yes, that's correct.
And I think that's tremendous for the community. That's going to bring in
wonderful.
You know, well-paying jobs and more people to the community. And it'll probably bring in other associated industries. I mean, I think it'll attract... much as Schweitzer kind of got started as a spinoff from, the engineering department here at WSU, I think that the biosciences will probably spin off their own industries, and I'm really excited about that. So, it just seems everything's going terrific. You know, we have a fantastic quality of life here in Pullman. I think, you know, I have kids in the school systems here, and I think our school system is really second to none, especially given the size of the of the town that we have, and everyone seems to really back it, as we saw in this last, you know, school levy pass
by
a very wide margin. And so, yeah, I would agree that, you know, we are definitely living in great times for Pullman. What do you see as maybe some challenges for us in the future?
Well, I think, Tom, that we really have to be very diligent on having good planned growth, and so that we make sure that we don't get kind of the sprawl look, so to speak. So those are some challenges. I think that with our community here and the university, as it starts to grow, we got to make sure that we have the good infrastructure for that. You know, as you mentioned, the schools, I think we have great schools, and I think we have great hospital here, and the police, fire, and city council folks, we have that. So I think the challenges are that we need to keep pace with our growth and to welcome the growth so that it's planned and done in a proper manner. And, you know, I was just thinking, I know the Walmart's been a big issue for a lot of people, but I was just so pleased in how our retail community rallied around that and wasn't in such opposition, but said we're going to work with them, and which was really a very welcoming thing to see. And so I think it's good, and realize that competition is good, and that's how you grow and better. So I think those are the kinds of things that we need to look at. And I know that Pullman is starting to grow. We need to going outside of our city limits. You know, we've grown over 1,000 people, I think, in the last few years. Just so those are some challenges I see that we have. But we just need to be very vigilant, and I guess vigilant too, that we become a welcoming community, but yet also planned growth is what we need to do as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think also one of the challenges that I see, you know, you're talking about, you know, bringing more people in, is, you know, the housing situation always seems to be a constant problem.
Yes.
In Pullman, and making sure that we have enough of the right kinds of housing. I think, you know, probably having housing available at various price points, because, you know, we have people obviously with different kinds of incomes moving in that would love to own a home here. So I think that's one of the challenges I see as far as our growth. And you know, as you mentioned, you know, with maybe growing the city, you know, we've kind of been landlocked, so to speak, over, you know, with the way the ordinances have been over the I guess past 30 years or so with regards to growing. And what do you think about that, as far as, you know, I guess Whitman County is in the process of changing the ordinance about rural housing and maybe kind of loosening things up a little bit as far as that goes to kind of accommodate growth.
Yes, I think so. And you know, Whitman County has a very strong right to farm laws within their counties and so on. And I think that now as people come here, they want some kind of rural living. And so the county commissioners have been working to try to change some of the thinking and so on, and developing the cluster housing kinds of developments that will happen in the rural. I think that that's a good thing for our growth, and again in a planned growth. But I would agree with you, Tom, that when people do come to this community, they see, gee, the cost of housing is rather high here. And I think that if we can get more development that way, I think maybe the cost will come down a little bit, and we will have, you know, price points, so to speak, for starter families and whatever. One of the things that's happened that I'm really glad to see, that we've been able to capture a lot of our seniors in our community by having Bishop Place and Ridge Point and a wonderful hospital facility.
Yes.
And that's been really good, because lots of times our seniors, once they maybe retired from their businesses here, kind of left the community. But we are also finding that a lot of people like to retire in small university communities because of the access to the university, whether it be cultural things or academic things or athletic things. So that's really been good. Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably aware of this. I don't remember the name of the study, but it came out about 6 years ago, and I guess there's roughly 650 so small cities in the United States in between like 10 and 50,000 in population.
Right.
And they rated those cities on like, it was like 24 different categories, I think, and then they kind of did a compilation of like the top 10, and Pullman was in that top 10, and some of the categories, you know, such as and I think schools we were number one.
That's right.
And there were some other ones we rated very high in too. In fact, the only two kind of categories we weren't as high in were the medical care, which I think now we've addressed with Pullman Regional Hospital. I think we've made a great step with that.
Yes, very much so.
And then the other issue, of course, was you know, kind of having to do with retail and things like that. And as
right.
you mentioned, we're kind of on the way to doing that. So
yeah.
we're definitely a top 10, you know, in the U.S. type of community. And
you bet.
I'm very proud to live in Pullman, and it's been great. And I'm excited about what the future holds. And you mentioned the corridor development, you know, the Hawkins Company is out of Boise that's developing that.
Yeah.
You know, of course, then that's going to be in Whitman County, and Pullman itself won't necessarily see, you know, any tax revenue from it other than the fact that, you know, we're in Whitman County and derive some services through through the county. But what is the Pullman Chamber, what is the Pullman Chamber stance on that? How do you guys feel about the development?
Well, we feel great about the development. I think that because you know, we have people that would be coming out to that development. You know, they may be stopping in Pullman, you
sure.
know, to do whatever. So I think where we can see growth and again plan growth and those things, those are all very positive things, and that brings people to the community that maybe would move here, or it will bring in people that live in the surrounding areas to shop at those locations and maybe stop and maybe have dinner in Pullman, wherever. So we welcome that development very much. And when we have some time to look at something, so when we can see what's going to be out there, and it won't be out there for a year or maybe a little bit longer before everything's all done, the other merchants that might be in competition with it have an opportunity to kind of redirect what their merchandise might be and whatever. But I just think growth grows growth, so to speak. And
yes.
I think that's a very important factor. And we have some great, you know, smokestackless industry in this community and with electronics, and we have a great port up here that has, you know, MetraGuard and Decagon and Isothermic and all those things that are great stewards of our environment as well as great stewards for our community here too. So I think growth is good. As I said earlier, it's planned growth, and it's also you know, something that we can all work with, and I think it's a kind of a win thing now for the county, who it's been kind of struggling a little bit here with some of their funds, and this is an opportunity for them to grow a little bit and have some resources that they could do things in the other communities. That'd be good.
Yeah, I agree. I think overall it's probably a very good thing. You're right. I think that, you know, people from some of the outlying communities like Colfax and some of the other, you know, Albion and Uniontown and Pullman, they'll drive through Pullman on their way to go to, you know,
sure.
Lowe's or whatever stores are there, and that can only be good for Pullman to have, you know, more traffic coming through town. And speaking of Moscow, of course, last night, I'm sure you saw in the paper today, the Planning and Zoning Commission in Moscow denied the rezone request that was going to be kind of a first step for the Walmart Supercenter that was proposed over there openings. I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts are about that, and also what your thoughts are in terms of, you know, there's been a lot of talk about cooperation between Pullman and Moscow and you know, with regards to these matters. What is your opinion of that?
Well, you know, it kind of changes every once in a while here, but we do a lot of things in cooperation with Moscow right now, with the two chambers, with our visitor's guide, and a lot of our relocation materials and so on like that. And I'm hoping that we can work together with them in developing some retail, because I think we have a great partnership, because we have similar communities with, even though we're different states, but similar. We have agriculture, we have a university, and so on. Right now I know that the Moscow City Council and a few other, they're planning things, are trying to work out what they think is best for Moscow, and I hope that they will work it so that they will get some developments as well, because I think it's a win-win if we all
sure.
work together on this. And right now they have some hurdles, I think, that they have to overcome, and I think kind of maybe working with some of their folks that will probably happen. So I'm hoping that that we can, so that we can welcome, you know, the retail and industry to the two communities. And I've worked pretty closely with Paul Kimmel, who is the executive director there, and we're hoping that you know, what we can share ideas and do whatever. So we'll just kind of keep our eyes plugged. And I know that sometimes when you kind of put some restrictions on different retails and those kinds of things, you know, people kind of, well, is that a welcoming thing or not? But I think Moscow's going to work through all that, because they're wanting to grow and be a very positive force too. So I hope we work together, and we'll just kind of see what happens.
And I know you have to go around noon, so I'm going to kind of give you a wrap-up question here before you go.
Sure.
What are there any specific objectives that the Chamber has for 2006? Are there any particular goals that you've set as an organization that you'd like to see accomplished this year?
Well, that's very interesting that you bring this up, Tom, because, yeah, we've been talking about that at last of our last Board of Directors meetings and so on. I think that one of our big goals is to really work with our water reuse program, so that we can get the use for expansion on our golf courses and things like that. So I think we're also looking at what we call ecotourism, which will be kind of things that bring people in here to have a different look at Pullman as it looks at the Magpie Forest and also Rose Creek kinds of things. But we're looking at that. But I think one of our big goals is to just make sure that we are a welcoming community. We have the infrastructure to provide for businesses to come. And I think our housing is another issue that we've been talking about, that you and I have talked about through this meeting. So I would say probably our goals, if we look at them, would be to keep our partnership very strong within the city and WSU and the county, that we have good planned growth. We also have a mechanism within our community to provide for retail businesses to be welcome into our community, and then also have it be a safe community as we grow.
That's great. Now, how can you explain a little bit about how the membership works? How can we help you? I mean, is it possible for, you know, someone like myself who doesn't own a business to join the chamber and help out?
Oh, you bet. We have a lot of volunteer events that we could use our folks doing. If anybody wanted to join the chamber as an individual, we welcome that. It's $55 a year to do so, and then the benefits with all that that goes with that. So if people that want to get involved with their chamber can do it on an individual basis or also on a business level, and nonprofits as well. So I think we have over 400 members in our community, which is just so rewarding because of the size of our community. That's really great, because I'm the president of the State Chambers Association in Washington, and I look across the state at some of the other chamber execs, and, you know, they're kind of struggling with their memberships, and communities quite a bit larger than we are that have less members than we do. And I just think if we do a good product and keep meaningful objectives and directions out there, people will want to join. So I would welcome anybody to join the chamber. It's a wonderful organization made up of all ages and just a good way to get involved and meet new people. And it's a fun thing to do.
And how often do you meet, and where does the chamber meet?
Yeah, we meet once a month, and it's usually the second Tuesday of every month, and it's a lunch meeting, and we start right at noon, and we get through at 1 o'clock. That's the meeting obligations. Then, as I say, we have about eight chamber committees that people can get involved in, all the way from economic to governmental affairs to agriculture, and there's many others that they can get involved in that way, or they can also get involved with, you know, with the Lentil Festival or the 4th of July celebrations. But our planned meetings are the second Tuesday of every month. We have a program that involves, maybe sometimes it's the Lane Rollins speaking to us. It could be we've had different businesses come and present their programs, and, you know, the coaches, and we have Schweitzer Engineering is going to be our speaker. Schweitzer's going to be our speaker for April. So we try to keep the community informed of what's going on through our meetings. We start right at 12 and we end right at 1 o'clock. So it's a good way to meet people and find out what's going on in our community.
Great. Okay, and then before you go, Fritz, what is the website address for the chamber?
It's pullmanchamber.com. Very easy one to do, and we have a lot of events and what's going on at the Chamber on that website, so feel free to jump in and take a look what's happening.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so much, Fritz, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the show today, and keep up the great work. Like I said, Pullman is an awesome place to live, and you guys have a lot of the credit to take for that. So.
Well, thank you, Tom. Everybody's working together on this, and I also thank you for letting me have the opportunity to brag about our community a little bit, so that's great.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Fritz.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, so that was Fritz Hughes, the Executive Director of the Pullman Chamber of Commerce. Appreciate him being on the show today to tell us some of the things that are going on. You know, for some of you students who maybe don't get out that much or know that much about Pullman, I encourage you to kind of go out and check things out and see how we're growing. You can go up on Bishop Boulevard and take a look at, you know, there's the new Crimson and Gray, and Zeppos has just made an addition. And so the city is really adding a lot of things that are new. Well, of course, the new Fireside Grill, which is next to the new theaters that opened up a couple years ago. So, yeah, Fritz was right. You know, things are growing in Pullman. I think it's growing in a responsible way. We're getting the kind of growth that we need. Obviously, one of the things students have complained about the most in the past, I think, is that there's nothing to do in Pullman. And I think that that's in the process of changing, which is great. For people like myself that have families and have made a permanent residence in Pullman, I mentioned, of course, you know, the school systems here are fantastic. I'm very pleased with the administration and everything about the schools here are just great. And, you know, we have an excellent city government, city council, the city staff. We have great police and fire services. So Pullman really is a great place to live, and it's because of people like Fritz and others who've gotten involved in the community and have done a great job with that. So, like I said, if you're a student and maybe don't know that much about what's going on here, and even if you don't plan on making Pullman a home, you know, check it out. You're here maybe for 4 or 5 years, and I think you'd really like what you see. So we're almost at the top of the hour, and we're going to listen to the Reverend Horton Heat.
Time
It's noon in the great city of Pullman, and you're listening to the PES on 90.7 FM KZU Pullman, a broadcast service of the ASWSU. You were just listening to the Reverend Horton Heat with Ain't Gonna Happen, and we'll have one more song from the Reverend, and we got up next, Suicide Doors. Thank you very much, Reverend. You are listening to the PES on KZUU. I'm your host, Tom Forbes. My co-host, Scotty Anderson, is on assignment down in Peoria, Arizona, covering Mariners spring training. I hope to get a call back from him pretty soon here. Last he called about an hour ago, he was down on the links in Arizona, playing a round of golf, and maybe we'll get an update on that from him as well. So, but let's get to the news like I promised at the beginning of the show. Big news on campus today, the banner headline in the Daily Evergreen, Wirtz Heath win. As I mentioned earlier, the voting total was Wirtz and Heath 2,135, which represented 38.2% of the vote. Carr and Lake got 1,883 votes for 33.7%, and Evans and Riegelsberger got 1,577 votes for 28.2%. The turnout was 5,595 ballots cast out of 15,277 eligible, which represents a 36.6 voter turnout, which, as I said earlier, is certainly very respectable. That's probably comparable to what we had in the city council election here in Pullman back in November. So it certainly isn't on the level of, say, a presidential election like we had back in 2004 with 50% turnout. But I think compared to some of the stats I'd seen from some previous elections, especially last year's presidential election, the turnout was very good, which is commendable. I think that students need to be involved both with their WSU government as well as the local government. So the other interesting story, which is down at the bottom of page one on the Evergreen today, stadium fee gains voter approval. And the ballot total there was impose a mandatory $25 per fee per semester to cover cost of improvements to Martin Stadium. Yes, 3,937, which represents 64.6%. No was 2,153, or 35.4%. So by an almost 2,000 vote margin, the stadium fee got voter approval. I think that's pretty much what everyone had anticipated with regards to that. I know there had been some debate on campus. The Evergreen had actually come out and officially came out against the stadium fee. There were some editorials in the Evergreen, both for and against, and some letters both for and against. So there did seem to generate some controversy. So I'm going to open up the studio line here at 335-2207. That's 335-2207. I'd be very curious to hear some comments from people out there, either about the presidential election or the Martin Stadium initiative, just to get some comments and feedback about how you maybe voted or what you think about it. We'll continue on about the stadium fee. The Evergreen says that ASWSU Vice President Mike King called Jim Sterk down in L.A. to let him know that the stadium fee had passed. He said, "Mr. Sterk, I've got some good news for you. You've got a new stadium." And Sterk said that made the news, made him happy, even though the Cougs lost the basketball game yesterday. So I think ultimately it's probably a good thing for the university that Martin Stadium gets renovated. I don't think anyone ever really denied that it needed to be renovated. I just think people, some students were concerned about how the funding was going to operate, but obviously more people thought it was okay versus not okay. And so now it goes on to the WSU Board of Regents, and they'll officially pass the fee on May 5th, as the paper says, barring any unexpected hurdles. Also, good news too, yesterday, on a different subject, you know, we're talking about the stadium renovation. We talked last week about how Representative Don Cox, one of our representatives in Olympia, had managed to reach a compromise to ensure the survival of the Biosciences 2 building. That had cleared the way in the House, and there was some question about whether the Senate would adopt it, but it looks like the House and Senate conferees agreed on Tuesday on the budget, and it was expected to pass yesterday on on Wednesday, and that's going to be $10 million that will be used to construct the foundations of the biosciences building, and with the thoughts that next year they'll revisit the funding for that. Obviously, I think if they've invested $10 million and started construction and have a foundation, it's pretty unlikely that funding would be canceled. It probably will just be a question of how soon It'll be done. There's some other things in the budget for WSU. There was an additional $1,174,000 for 80 more student seats in high-demand areas, which include nursing, engineering, construction management, and science education. And then there's a quote about how the U.S. only turns out 50,000 engineers every year, as opposed to how India turns out 400,000 engineers every year. And we do, Washington ranks first in the nation in terms of the number of engineers employed in the state. Obviously, Boeing has a great deal to do with that. But we're below the halfway mark with respect to the number of engineers produced by the state's universities. So there's obviously a discrepancy there. The state will also grant WSU $716,000 in additional funds for energy costs. Obviously, the cost of natural gas and heating oil has gone up, and so the university has had to deal with that. They had requested $3.9 million, and they only got $716,000. There's also $400,000 to launch a bioag program, which involves biologically intensive agriculture. And includes organic farming, and also $800,000 for operation of the Ag Weather Net, which is particularly important for irrigation-dependent agriculture, $250,000 for startup expenses at WSU Tri-Cities, associated with development programs for freshman and sophomore-level students, because WSU Tri-Cities is expected to admit freshmen for the first time in the fall of 2007. Currently in the extension or remote campus system, WSU Vancouver and WSU Spokane both offer degrees, and WSU Tri-Cities does not. So this is part of the program to turn WSU Tri-Cities into a degree-granting institution. Excuse me. And there's also $98,000 for a biofuels consumer education and outreach program in Olympia at the WSU Extension Energy Office. Obviously, we talked about biofuel a couple weeks ago. That's a really big thing in Eastern Washington right now. You know, there's lots of plans about how Palouse farmers can get involved in producing and growing things like canola and rapeseed and things like that that can be used to produce biofuels. And WSU is, I think, obviously going to play a major role in anything like that that happens in the future, given our agricultural expertise. And again, the studio line is open at 335-2207. If you want to call and talk about the WSU elections, some of the issues that were decided yesterday. Also, you can go to our website at www.kzu.org. You can type in some requests there. If you don't want to be on the phone, you can type in some requests, and I can read your questions and comments on the air if you're a little bit reluctant to have your voice on the radio like myself and make an embarrassment of yourself with all of your coughing. So anyway, I talked earlier about some of the issues we're going to talk about today. I mentioned, and you heard me talk on the phone to Fritz Hughes about it, the Moscow Planning and Zoning Commission last night voted 5-1 with one abstention to deny the rezone request that had been made by CLC Associates from Spokane to build a Walmart Supercenter in Moscow. So for now, the future of the Walmart Supercenter in Moscow is in limbo. The Planning and Zoning Commission did invite Walmart to reapply after changes have been made to the zoning law. The land is currently zoned for agricultural. There's been talk in Moscow about amending the comprehensive plan to include a mixed use, which is something they don't currently have. Mixed use, of course, is where you have high-density housing and commercial mixed in together. In fact, that is a zoning category that Pullman currently does not have. Schweitzer Engineering has requested that the comprehensive plan here be amended to include mixed use for some development that they would like to do as far as having residential and shopping areas together. So that's what they're trying to do in Moscow. And at that point, the Planning and Zoning Commission said if Walmart could make a reapplication based on the mixed use zoning, then they would consider that at that time. At this point, like I said, the future of the project is it's kind of up in the air. I'm sure we'll be hearing over the next few weeks what Walmart plans to do in Moscow. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Also, I'd like to talk a little bit about taxes. I mentioned that earlier. There was a story in the Moscow Pullman Daily News over the weekend, and this has actually kind of been in the works since January, but the story was in the Daily News on this past Saturday, and this may be something that most students are not aware of, but there's going to be a special election next Tuesday, March 14th, and it will be on Proposition 1. And Proposition 1 is a proposal to add 0.1% to the Whitman County sales tax, or basically $1 per thousand, to cover expenses related to emergency communication systems in Whitman County. I guess there have been requests from some of the rural fire departments that they need to have new equipment and maintain equipment they've got with the rolling hills of the Palouse. communications can be a challenge, and it's easy to understand that. And so that's where this request has come from. maybe you remember, maybe you don't, but last September there was another election that was as part of the primary, where there was another Proposition 1 that was on the ballot to increase the sales tax 0.1%, and this was to cover expenses related to the Whitman County jail. So that's been if this proposition passes next Tuesday, that'll be 0.2% that's been added to the sales tax in roughly the past 6 months, which will take our sales tax up to 7.8%. Now, the interesting thing was there was an article in the Moscow Pullman Daily News on Tuesday about a Pullman League of Women Voters forum on Monday night where there were speakers that talked about the sales tax. And I thought that was particularly relevant given the fact that, you know, we're going to be voting next Tuesday on an increase to that sales tax. And David Nice was one of the speakers. He's a political science professor here at WSU. And it was his opinion that sales tax is regressive. And in fact, Washington's tax system is the most regressive in the country. Now, what does regressive mean? Well, regressive means that the poor pay a larger share of the burden than the wealthy. So in other words, a sales tax is fixed for everyone. You know, in our case, it's 7.8%. And assuming that everyone has to buy the same goods and services, they all pay the same rate. And so therefore, people that are poor pay at the same rate as people that are rich, and so proportionately, it's much more difficult for them to buy the goods and services that they need than it is for people that are wealthier. In fact, Nice was quoted as saying that if you're a relatively poor person, Washington is not a good place to live in terms of the tax system. In fact, Washington relies on sales tax for 53% of its general fund revenues, according to the State Department of Revenue. And according to another speaker at the forum, no other state is as reliant on sales tax as Washington. And people at the lower end of the economic spectrum are shouldering the load for government services, particularly in light of tax cuts awarded to the wealthy by the federal government in recent years. As most of you are probably no doubt aware, Washington has no state income tax, as opposed to Idaho, which does. Idaho has both a state income tax and a sales tax, even though Idaho's sales tax is currently 2.7% less than Washington and could be 2.8% after next week. So an organization called the Tax Foundation recently conducted a study to see which states have the most business-friendly tax codes. And so because taxes obviously affect businesses a great deal, I mean, it's certainly individuals, but businesses are probably more affected even than individuals by taxes, because there's usually a greater variety of taxes that businesses have to pay. So they conducted a study, and they looked at a variety of factors. You can go into www.taxfoundation.org to see a copy of the study that they did. Like I said, there's a variety of categories that they looked at, and then came up with overall rankings based on those categories. Washington came in number 13 overall, which is actually not too bad, although we did drop down from a number 11, so we're not making progress as far as being business friendly. We're kind of we dropped a couple of spots. Oregon, I believe, made it into the top 10, as well as I think Montana did as well. So so we're not maybe as competitive as far as being business friendly as Oregon. Although knowing what I do about Oregon, I cannot imagine that Oregon is more business friendly, maybe from a tax standpoint, but certainly not from all the growth management and land management laws that Oregon has. But Washington's number 13 rating, though, was a bit deceptive, because then if you look at some of the breakdowns of the individual categories, it's kind of interesting. In the sales and gross tax, or sales and gross receipts tax index, Washington came in dead last, number 50. And I think that goes back to what I was talking about with the League of Women Voters Forum, is that Washington relies more on sales tax than the other state in the union, so that's we came in a solid, you know, number 50, even though there are some states, I think, that have a higher sales tax rate. I think, like, Louisiana or Tennessee have higher sales tax rates than Washington, I guess, just the way we're so dependent on it, ranks us last. However, with the fact that we don't have a state income tax, we came in number 2 in the individual income tax index. So that's kind of interesting. On one hand, we're at the top of the scale for income tax, and then we're at the bottom of the scale for sales tax. And so somehow or the other, that percolates out to coming around number 13. And there's some other factors to involve with that, but I thought that was interesting. Now, I mentioned Idaho, that has both an income tax and a sales tax. Idaho came in at number 24 overall. And on the state income tax, they rated a number 37. And on sales tax, they came in at number 17. So Idaho is squarely in the middle of the pack by having the kind of balanced system. So it kind of leads to some interesting speculation. You know, are we better off in Washington, even though we have this kind of bad sales tax thing, yet it makes us more business friendly, or are we more balanced like Idaho, which puts us squarely in the middle of the pack? So it's interesting. I have feelings on both. I mean, I think there are pros and cons onto both. I think I agree that sales taxes are regressive, and the more that they go up, I mean, I'm generally against raising sales taxes. And one of the problems is once they go up, they generally never come back down. Idaho was a rare exception to that. They had raised their sales tax by 1%, and that came down last year back down to 5%. But generally speaking, once the tax goes up, it hardly ever comes back down. Being so reliant on sales tax leaves you at the mercy of economic downturns. You know, if there's a recession like Washington experienced, say, in the 2001, 2003 timeframe, as people are getting laid off or making less money, they go out and tend to buy less. And by buying less, and that reduces the amount of money that the state has available. And so it leads to deficits and things like that. And now, of course, we're in an economic upturn in Washington, and people are spending more money. And so that's why we had a surplus this year, but it's too many peaks and valleys, I think, when you have a situation like that. Also, as we see here in Pullman, when we rely so heavily on sales tax, towns and border areas are less competitive. You know, people that are looking to save money are going to go over to Idaho and buy things versus here in Washington, because they can save money on the sales tax. And also, as we see here in Pullman too, you know, if we're under-retailed as Pullman is, then it really leaves the local government scrambling to try to make ends meet, especially since I-695 did away with the motor vehicle excise tax that formerly had been used to make up for the lack of sales tax revenues. One good thing, I did mention going over to Idaho, that you can, a sales tax is relatively voluntary. I mean, you do have to buy things, but especially if you live in a border area like us, you can choose what you buy and choose where you buy it. So, for example, Washington has no sales tax on food. So if you buy all your food in Washington, you pay no sales tax. And if you go and buy all your other goods over in Idaho, you end up saving yourself 2.7%. So it is a situation where you can kind of manipulate the system if you want to. Income taxes, on the other hand, you really can't manipulate. Income taxes generally tend to be very complex. They can be unfair. It's difficult. Like I said, the sales tax, it's flat. You pay one rate and that's it. Income taxes, there's all the different exemptions and brackets and things like that. So then there's all the hassle of doing the returns. And so it's certainly not a simpler type system. We were talking about, how does that impact business and the business-friendly, climate? Well, if you have a state income tax, generally speaking, that means people are going to be making less money, so therefore you have to kind of raise the wages you as a business pay those employees so that they can have the equivalent take-home pay. So by forcing businesses to, to pay higher wages, and that increases the cost of their labor pool, and so then that might make some businesses from either opening up or relocating in Washington or expanding their businesses. They might look to go in other states where the labor pool is not as expensive. We have a lot of entrepreneurs in Washington. We've got a lot of people, startups, in biotech and dot-coms and things like that. And very often these one-person operations tend to be one-person operations, and so often they fill out, they do their taxes as an individual versus as a corporation, and so they would be affected by a state income tax, and so again, they might be more likely to take their capital and their startup somewhere else versus Washington. And then also, too, if you've got two taxes, if we have an income tax plus a sales tax, then it's inevitable it's going to end up costing you more. It's, in other words, if the government's getting in your wallet twice, it's bound to end up costing you more than just the one time. And, like, even if you had a 5% sales tax and a whatever state income tax, it may end up costing you a lot more than just having a 7.8% sales tax. So it's kind of interesting. I think there's going to be some debate about it in the future. I think there's been talk in the past about instituting a state income tax. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that, but I think you're seeing probably more of a push, or we'll see more of a push in the future for that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Again, our studio line is 335-2207. Call in if you have any comments about taxes or presidential elections or the stadium or whatever you'd like to talk about. Feel free to call in. Also, you can go to our website at kzuu.org and you can type in requests for the DJ, and I can read your comments or questions on the air. And I'm going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back in just a moment. We'll be right back.
A very dear friend of mine. And I won't say who he is, but he has a bad problem with women.
Oh, no!
I want to tell you that this friend of mine just lusts for those women too much. This friend of mine now, I said I won't say who, well, just has a hard time with his demonic thoughts of women and the downright sinful things that he would do with them if he lost his most important one in promise.
Oh, no!
Hugging.
No!
Kissing.
No!
Playing with the poodle! Friends, this just upsets this man so much that he cannot stop thinking those lewd, lustful, evil thoughts about women's legs, their hips, their underwear! I want to tell you fine people this one thing that I tell this friend of mine over and over and over again. I tell him that he has a very special friend. A friend who is there with him day and night, night and day. A friend who understands his needs, worries, many, many, many frustrations. Do you know the name of my special friend? Jimbo!
Jimbo!
Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Jimbo will sit with you and watch a nature show. When you are feeling down, Jimbo will lift you up and take you for a ride in his pickup. Jimbo will come in your house carrying a six-pack of goodwill and joy. When you have sinned, he will baptize you in the clear waters of his above-ground pool. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
But when the evil floodwaters are arising, don't think that Jimbo hasn't been there. Because when evil makes those eyes stop and stare at those bosoms, those thighs, those lips, those ears, those small of the backs, those panties, you know Jimbo has been there too. And no, Jimbo is there with you now as those demonic feelings down where the sun don't shine are about to take over. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you to our members. You've got a friend in Jimbo. You've got a friend in Jimbo.
All right. Amen, Reverend. You're listening to the PES on 90.7 FM KZUU Pullman. The Pullman Fire Department invites you and your mom to their annual Mom's Weekend Pancake Feed on April 8th. Come and enjoy all-you-can-eat pancakes, ham, hash browns, scrambled eggs, juice, and coffee. That sounds delicious. For more information, contact Chris at 509-332-8172. Does your nonprofit group or organization have an event or meeting you'd like to announce on the air? KZUU broadcasts public service announcements every hour, like we're doing now. Fill out a form available online at www.kzuu.org or outside our office, Cub Room 311. For more information, contact Lucas at 335-2208. The University of Idaho presents Pink Mountaintops in the SUB Ballroom at 7:30 p.m. March 26th. Come and enjoy their acoustic folk rock sound. For more information on upcoming concerts, contact Dylan at 208-885-6485 or go to www.asui.uidaho.edu. Engineers Without Borders at Washington State University meets bi-monthly, Thursdays at 5 p.m. in Sloan 242. Engineers Without Borders conducts sustainable community projects for disadvantaged people worldwide. For more information, go to their website at www.ewb.wsu.edu or call Alex at 206-291-8674. The GLBTA will be moving to Smith Gym. They will be meeting on the third floor of Smith Gym. The Women's Building for weekly meetings begins March 21st at 7 p.m. For more information, contact Andy at 432-1699. Come watch a live show on Friday, March 10th at 9 p.m. at Mystical Tattoo. The Pacific Graveyard will be performing their groovy blues, folk music, and Rocking Your World. For more information, contact John at 509-432-6844. On Sunday, March 26th, the Moscow Area Mountain Bike Association is hosting a Devil's Slide Mountain Bike Race. It is a cross-country mountain bike race starting at Hell's Gate State Park. There are beginner and pro categories for male and female riders. All racers are eligible for a swag drawing. For more information, contact Joe at 208-301-1408. Come support local independent business and music. Green Frog Cafe in Palouse will be having open mic nights every first Friday of each month. Acoustic music only. Green Frog Cafe is located at 110 Bridge Street, Palouse, Washington. For more information, contact Green Frog Cafe at 878-1490. On April 7th at noon, the Black Men Making a Difference organization is holding a rally on Glen Terrell Mall. They want to bring together 1,000 students, faculty, and administration to discuss the problems facing education today. The rally will follow week-long workshops on April 5th and 6th. For more information, contact Elliot at 206-856-2623. Memorial Day weekend, the Gorge starts off its summer concert series with the 5th anniversary of the annual Sasquatch Music Festival, brought to you by the House of Blues. In celebration of the anniversary, Sasquatch will be 3 days long, featuring big-name indie artists like Death Cab for Cutie, The Flaming Lips, Sufjan Stevens, The Shins, Rogue Wave, The Decemberists, and more. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit www.sasquatchfestival.com for more information. Submissions are now being accepted for the first annual Wazoo Independent Film Festival, which is presented by WSU Student Entertainment Board in collaboration with Wazoo Films. All up-and-coming filmmakers are encouraged to submit their films and are eligible to win awards and prizes. Films must be 20 minutes or under in DVD or VHS format. Include a submission form, which is due March 20th. Submissions can be turned in at the SEV office, which is located on the ground level of the Cub. The festival will be held at the Cub Auditorium on April 19th, 2006. For more information, contact Kyle Lawrence at 509-335-3503 or Nick Bergthold at 360-202-9747. Okay, we're still waiting to hear back from Scotty, calling in from Arizona. He's going to give us a report, hopefully, on spring training down in Peoria with the Mariners. This year is a little bit different as far as spring training goes. Some of you are probably familiar with there's the World Baseball Classic that's going on, where a lot of major leaguers are not participating in spring training because they're playing for their various national teams. There's teams from all over the world. There's, of course, the U.S., there's Japan, the Dominican Republic, Mexico, South Africa, I think, even had a team I saw, Canada. It's quite interesting, and some of the big names in baseball are playing. For example, Ichiro Suzuki from the Mariners is playing for the Japan team. But there were a lot of big-time players that also kind of backed out, that originally said they were going to play, and then backed out because I think maybe worried about getting injured, or in general thought that they couldn't do two things at one time. So some of the really, really big names, I think, are going to be missing. I actually have not watched any of the World Baseball Classic yet. I'm planning on doing so if I have a chance. I actually haven't even seen any of the preseason Mariners games yet. Looking forward to the season. I have a copy of ESPN the magazine in front of me right now, and latest issue, and on the front cover is the 19-year-old phenom for the Mariners pitcher, Felix Hernandez. I was talking to Scotty earlier. Maybe he can give us a report if he calls in. Felix, I guess, played in his first game of the preseason the other day, and apparently kind of got roughed up in his first outing, so hopefully that was just some of the rust that is going to be shaking off. Also this year, the Mariners have a new catcher from Japan, Jojima, and it'll be interesting to see the impact that he's made. He was quite a star, had six seasons in playing Major League Baseball in Japan, did quite well. The theory is, you know, he'll probably be a pretty solid addition for the Mariners, but play a lot more games in the major leagues, and then plus playing in the roomy confines of Safeco Field, it's unlikely that he'll have as many home runs as he did in Japan, but he should be hopefully a solid addition to the Mariners at catcher. Is something that they've needed now with the retirement of Dan Wilson. Hope again for a good season from Richie Sexton and Adrian Beltran. Made a few pickups in the offseason in pitching to kind of strengthen things on starting rotation, so I don't know. Hopefully it'll be a good year for the Mariners. It actually can't be much worse than the last two seasons have been. I believe the Mariners tied a record for having won, I forget exactly what it was, there only one other team in the history of baseball won as many games in one season and then went on to lose more than 90 games in the subsequent two seasons. So the bottom has definitely dropped out things in the last 2 years, and hopefully the M's can turn it around this year under manager Mike Hargrove. I think if they don't, probably Hargrove is going to be looking for other employment. Hargrove was a great manager at Cleveland. Got them into the playoffs there. Went to Baltimore, was kind of a disappointment. Really didn't do very much in Baltimore, so hopefully he can turn things around for the M's. But like I said, one more losing season, and it could be bye-bye for Hargrove. I'm going to talk a little bit now. We don't talk too much on the PS about international politics, but this is from the Seattle Times yesterday. It says, Iran threatens U.S. with harm and pain over nuclear program. Iran threatened the United States with harm and pain today for its role in hauling Tehran before the U.N. Security Council over its nuclear program. But the United States and its European ally said Iran's nuclear intransigence left the world no choice but to seek Security Council action. The Council could impose economic and political sanctions on Iran. The statements were delivered to the 35-member board of the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is meeting to focus on Tehran's refusal to freeze uranium enrichment. The White House dismissed the rhetoric out of Tehran. But, on the other hand, in the same issue of the Seattle Times, headline, it said, Rumsfeld says Iran moving forces to Iraq. And as U.S. and Russian diplomats try to bridge a widening rift over Iran's nuclear programs and other issues, such as the Middle East, trade and democracy, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld on Tuesday accused Iran of dispatching elements of its Revolutionary Guard to stir trouble inside Iraq. They're currently putting people into Iraq to do things that are harmful to the future of Iraq, he told a Pentagon news conference, citing operations by the Al-Quds Division of Iran's Revolutionary Guards. Rumsfeld and other U.S. officials have previously complained of Iranian complicity in the movement of explosives across the border into Iraq, but Rumsfeld had not mentioned Iranian forces before. So this overall seems like a fairly concerning and scary situation. You have a very hardline leader in Iran right now, one who has made a lot of bluster towards the West. He is a former Revolutionary Guard himself. He was one of the people that broke into the U.S. Embassy compound and seized the hostages back in 1979. Iran has now been engaging in the art of Holocaust denial. They have talked about having a conference in Tehran to discuss evidence that perhaps the Holocaust did not actually occur. I just saw the other day where I guess they're going to be dispatching, I don't know if it was Auschwitz or Dachau, but they were going to be sending people there to review evidence at a former Nazi concentration camp. And then, of course, they have been very unapologetically pursuing a weaponized nuclear weapons program and sought their cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency. And generally making everybody incredibly nervous in the Middle East and doing lots of saber rattling. And like I said, this situation has a lot of potential to turn into something bad. You know, Iran has been threatening Israel. Israel very likely would not allow Iran to gain a nuclear weapon. They have the means to stop it. They did the same thing to Iraq back in 1981. They bombed a reactor. It's very likely that Israel would perform a similar operation if they felt that Iran was close to having a weapon, because Iran has missiles that can reach Israel. So Israel would act in its self-defense. If that were to happen, given the current leadership that's in Iran right now, it could lead to a nuclear conflict in the Middle East. Unfortunately, we have over 100,000 troops on the ground in Iraq that would be right in the middle of that, especially considering Iran is right next door. If they wanted to hurt the United States, it would be very easy for them to cross the border and start engaging U.S. troops, which could lead to, obviously, a much wider conflict. So this is a concerning situation. I think the United States certainly needs to stay firm and not back down when it comes to Iran, and hopefully the international community will support us in this, although the last thing I would like to see is for the U.S. to get involved in a war with Iran. I think it would be very very tough on us as well as for the Iranian people, and really nothing good could come out of it. So I'll be watching this closely, I think, as everyone should be, just to see how things are going to turn out over there in the Middle East. And hopefully this is just a lot of rhetoric, and when it comes right down to it, the Iranian government and people will not desire to provoke a war. So studio line is still open at 335-2207 if you want to call in and comment about any of the topics we've been talking about today. I mentioned earlier the website is www.kzuu.org. If you don't feel like calling in, you can go to the website and enter a request, and those messages are visible to me, and I can either read out your comments or your questions, and we can answer questions or read your comments or whatever the case might be. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different on the PES. Normally, when we play music on the PES, it is the Reverend Horton Heat. But as I was examining our racks of music today, I noticed the Herb Alpert's Tijuana Brass Whipped Cream and Other Delights Rewhipped. And I just had to grab this off the shelf and play it because when I was a kid, my dad had this album, and I loved it. I listened to it when I was probably maybe 10 or 11 years old, and the old vinyl album, I'd take it and put it on the old turntable and listen to it. This stereo that my dad had was like the size of, I can't even compare it, compared to you know, iPods and MP3 players that we have today. This thing was a, you know, gigantic console. I mean, I'm trying to think of something as kind of the size of a small refrigerator, but is it was the state of the art back in the early 60s, I think, when he purchased it. So anyway, we're going to play a couple of cuts off of Herb Alpert's Whipped Cream and Other Delights Rewhipped. I'm going to play Whipped Cream, and following that, Taste of Honey.
Bye.
That was Herb Alpert and a Tijuana Brass, and remixed by various artists, including Carvery Corporation, Medeski Martin, and Wood, John King, etc. And that was really, I think that was, that particular Taste of Honey was remixed by John King of the Dust Brothers. And the earlier song, Whipped Cream, had been remixed by Anthony Marinelli, featuring Ozzy Motley. So we're going to end up today, as we usually do on the PS, talking about Cougar sports. I mentioned earlier how the Coug men's basketball team unfortunately went down in the first round of the Pac-10 basketball tournament down in LA at the Staples Centers last night. They fell to Oregon 66-55, which closes the curtain on the Dick Bennett era here at WSU. And next season, Dick's son Tony will be taking the helm. I think Dick has done a great job over the past few seasons. I think he's really kind of brought the fundamentals back to Pullman. It's unfortunate that things didn't work out, I think, the way that he had wanted them to this year. I mean, I think he had expressed his disappointment with how things had turned out the other day. I wish him all the best in the future. Appreciate his efforts that he has made over the last few years. And, in fact, there is a sign that I noticed on my way to the studio today out on Stadium Way, a banner thanking Dick for his efforts. And I understand that Dick and his wife will probably be hanging around the Pullman area for the next year or so they can see how things go with Tony. I hope they enjoy their stay here in Pullman. I think before he moves back to some lake somewhere in Wisconsin and returns to retirement and fishing, wish him all the best. And we're at the top of the hour. I need to tell you that you're listening to 90.7 FM KZUU Pullman, a broadcast service of the ASWSU. Before I turn you over to the Bong Ripper, I just want to tell you thank you so much for listening today. This is Tom Forbes from the PES, and we'll not talk to you next week because it's spring break, so we'll be back with you in a couple weeks.
Think I can say, but if they ask me again, I'm trying to hold back this smile. Listening and telling ain't my style, but I'll do it anyway. It's in Barbara's bedroom. It's in Barbara's bedroom. You should see me in Barbara's bedroom. It's in Barbara's bedroom. I was doing things I didn't know I could do. Boy, was it a sight to see. When I said stop, she said, what for? So we went on just a little more. Y'all would have been so proud of me. I was involved in that room. Oh, I was involved in that room. You should have seen me. Was in Barbara's bedroom.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Bong Ripper here in Barbara's bedroom. Guest hosting for Deloya, man. I'd like to thank DJ Sunshine for letting me sub for the past three Thursdays. I'd like to thank the KZUU listeners for tuning in. I am the Bong Ripper.